this wonderful, wondrous Wednesday, and we are here on the Master's Call. My name is Benita, and I am in New Jersey, and I just love each and every one of you. I love my Pastor Vanessa that continues to stretch me, but that's I love the fact that I get up in the morning and I connect with you. I'd like to now turn the call over to our host. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me? This is Tammy.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, my sister Tammy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, my sister Benita. Thank you so much for greeting the folks on the Master's Call this morning. This is the Master's Call. My name is Tammy, and I am calling from South Carolina, and I will be your hostess for today. We want to thank you so much for joining us this morning. We are so excited to have you all on the line, and we are hearing so many pings come in. That means that our call is truly, truly growing, and that is such a blessing. We are so glad about that. The Master's Call is a call that is started by our founders, Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon and Dr. P.K. Roberts, and this call was founded 2 years ago. And it was founded on a mission from God. Forgive me this morning. This is my first time being on the call as the host, and I apologize. And of course, the enemy would make a little issue with my notes this morning, but God is able. The call is planned by the Lord. It is a time where we come together in the morning and give him praise. We give him reverence in the morning as we begin our day. The call is, the call was started by Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa, and it gives us an opportunity to start our day as we go, as we begin the day. We begin with a prayer, and we also begin, we close the call with a prayer as well. And the
Sister Tammy, it's okay, precious. Yes. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Robin from New Jersey, and I'm going to help our sister this morning. God is good, and we can get through this, and we both welcome you this day. We thank you for coming on the call, and we thank you for being part of the Master's Call. And because you're part of our family, we're just going to tell you a little bit about us. We also have a mission statement, and that mission statement is we want to enrich, we want to enhance, and we want to empower you as you go forward and you begin your day. And that's what God wants us to do, because when we put him first, when we seek his kingdom, when we do things his way, we know that all these other things are added to us, and that's enrichment in our lives, and that's us being empowered by the Holy Ghost, and then we go out as a minister in the marketplace. And we also have a scripture that we stand on, and that scripture is found in Psalms 88:13, and it reads, "Unto you, O Lord, I have cried out, and in the morning my prayers, they come before you." That's what we are all about, as Tammy said. We start our day off with prayer. We end this call with prayer. We go out into the world, and we know our steps are being ordered by God. So we know that he is in charge, and he's directing us, and he's leading us in a path that we're supposed to be walking for him on this wonderful, wonderful, wondrous Wednesday, as Sister Benita has said. And the thread that has brought us together, many of us, we're distributors with the awesome, awesome company called Artists International. And Artists International has been founded and owned by the Diaz de Leon family. And they are sold out to Jesus. And that is such a blessing, because Jesus is our Lord. He is our King. And he is our Master. And he is first in our lives. So many of us, as I mentioned before, we are distributors. And if you're not a distributor, we love you. We are glad you are on this call, and that's okay. Go back to the person that invited you to the call. Let them share with you about Artists International, about Extravaganza. Many of us have just come back, and they have great stories. They know what's going on. They're sharing that with us, and they'll be glad to share that with you also about this company. And right now, I would like to take this time and just open us up in prayer so we can just go forward and have the word come forward so, again, we can continue to be enriched. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. You are a great God. You are a wonderful God. We thank you for being who you are. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord God, for everyone that made it home safely and for those, Lord, who may still be en route. We know that the angels are encamped around them, watching over them, protecting them, ensuring that they won't dash their feet against any type of stones or hindrances in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree and I declare this day, Satan, you are defeated. You are a defeated foe. Your schemes are inoperative in the name of Jesus. We do not have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. This call is blessed in the name of Jesus. Every person on this call, under the sound of my voice, they will be able to hear this call. They will be able to receive this call. They will be able to walk away knowing that they have been empowered to go out into the marketplace and tell others what they have heard this day in Jesus' name. Father God, we lift up the founders of this call, Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. Father, we thank you that they are blessed, they are highly favored, they are anointed, Lord God. There is nothing missing in their lives, Lord God. You, Lord God, provide all their needs according to your riches and glory by and through Christ Jesus. You, Lord God, watch over their family members, Father, in the name of Jesus. Because your victorious women of God are about your business, you got them, Lord. You are about their business. And no weapon formed against them, Lord God, will prosper. The weapon may form, but it will not prosper in their lives in Jesus' name because you are their provider. We lift up Artists International and the Diaz de Leon family and thank you that they are blessed. Thank you for the counselors that surround them. Thank you for the wisdom that you provided them with. And, Father, we come before you now, and I thank you, Lord God, for the woman of God. I thank you, Lord God, that as the word comes forward, Father, it will be clear. It will be accurate, Lord God, and we will receive your word, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And family, at this time, I would like to bring to you Dr. Vanessa, again being one of our co-founders of this awesome call. She is a woman of God. She is a daughter. She mentors. She is a pastor. She teaches with clarity. She is a prophetic speaker. She is a prophetic woman of God. The word that she speaks, it pierces darkness. It comes to us so clear and so concise, and we can go back and say, okay, Lord, what do we need to do? And that's what the word is. It's a simple word, and all we have to do is receive it. So this day, we will receive the word that is going to be coming forward from this victorious woman of God who we love. We see her, and we call her Dr. V because she stretches us, and she loves us no matter what. So without further ado, I introduce to some, but I bring back to the line our mom in the faith, this victorious woman of God, Dr. V, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome, Master's Call family. Thank you so much, Benita, for spiritually seeding and clearing the atmosphere to let the people know that this is a special place. To my dear Tammy, you did great your first time, and we're going to make sure we turn the call back over to you when we conclude. Everybody has a first time, and I so appreciate you stepping up to the plate. Thank you, our prayer general, Minister Robin, for opening up the heavens so that the word of God can go forth. I am always excited with, I tell you, on this time of Lent and consecration, God always speaks to us, but woo, when he puts the magnaphone, the headphone set on your head and just starts speaking clearly his heart and his will on this 22nd day of our time of Lent. I tell you, I've been writing so in my little notebook and almost into a second one. I've never tapped into a place, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, where there is so many rumblings in the heavens. So much is going on, and we want to stay sensitive. We want to stay strategic. We more than anything, we want to stay open to thus saith the word of the Lord. So this morning, I won't be before you long because I'm going to shock a few people that I see on the board and ask them to prepare now. Don't spend too much time with it. Just speak from your heart. At the end of the call, I'm going to call on two or three of you to just share in a minute or two what you learned in Extravaganza 2012 and what it meant to you. And I just am excited because I see God really answering prayer. Dr. PK and I have been assigned by God and are humbled and honored to be spiritual leaders in this company. And even more so, God has just anointed Dr. PK with even great favor in this season. And we always believe that one of our jobs, one of our mandates is to speak hope into the hearts of God's people. So today I'm going to talk briefly about how hope holds on, so keep your eyes on the prize. And for everybody who is at the conference, they know how that song, Keep Your Eyes on the Prize, bless the congregation. And you know why? The congregation, yes. You know why? Because just like this month is what? Women's National History Month. When people keep their eyes on the prize, as Psalms 122 says, keep your eyes focused on the hills from which cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. We allow God the opportunity to show up and show out in our lives. And I have been talking about some awesome matriarchs in the Bible and the great way they kept their eyes on the prize. Let me talk briefly and give a little history because I'm about us knowing and being empowered with the knowledge that Women's History Month was officially noticed and recognized in 1987, had its original beginnings in Sonoma County in California. But there's a few women who some of us have heard of and some of us who not, but all of us need to know about, who started a lineage and a legacy and made their contribution. When we were in Las Vegas, my gosh, the city was flooded because of NASCAR racing. And when I was looking and searching about accomplishments of women, I was kind of excited to see this one. Janet Guthrie is the first woman to drive in the Indy 500. But guess what, you guys? That did not happen until 1977. And she was an aerospace engineer, so you know that made me happy. She was an engineer, training to be an astronaut. And when she was cut from the space program because she didn't have her PhD, she turned to car racing, you know, probably to release some of that tension, and became the first woman to qualify for the Daytona 500 and the Indianapolis 500. Mechanical difficulties forced her out of the 1977 Indy race, but the next year she finished in ninth place with a broken wrist. Because if you don't know, it's kind of hard to turn those cars when they're going 200 miles per hour. And the helmet and suit that Guthrie wore in her first Indy race are on display in the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. Another first, President Ronald Reagan nominates Sandra Day O'Connor. We know she just recently retired, but she became the first woman on the Supreme Court in 1981. And I remember that so well, graduating around that time from Spelman, how we were reminded that there was so much ground still needed to be broken for the accomplishments of women. And O'Connor was confirmed that September in 1981, and she did not have much judicial experience when she began her Supreme Court term. I just say she had favor. She only had been a judge for a few years and had never served on a federal court, but she soon made a name for herself as one of the court's most thoughtful centrists. And she did retire, like I said, back in 2006. What about Joan Bonnet, who was the first women's Olympic marathon in 1984 at the 1984 Summer Games in Los Angeles? JoBenet, today known as JoBenet Samuelson, finished the first ever women's marathon in 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 52 seconds. That's a lot of running, isn't it, y'all? She finished 400 meters ahead of the silver medalist, Norway's Grete Waltz. Then there was a Menon, and I don't want to massacre this last name. It's spelled R-H-E-A-U-M-E, Raymond. She was the first woman to play in NHL hockey in 1992. I never even knew there were women out there playing hockey. She was a Goldie for the Quebec City, Canada. She was no strangers to first. She was well known for being the first female player to take the ice in the major boys junior hockey game. And in 1992, she was the starting goalie for the National Hockey League's Tampa Bay Lightning in a preseason exhibition game, making her the first woman to play in any of the major mids sports leagues in the U.S. In that game, she deflected 7 of the 9 shots. To think that she was on the team that also won the silver at the 1998 Olympics in Nagoya, Japan. And what about Madeleine Albright? Became the first female Secretary of State in 1997. Many of us are all familiar with her. The international relations expert Madeleine K. Albright was sworn in as the United States' 64th Secretary of State. And she was the first woman to hold that job. And we know later Condoleezza Rice also held that position. She was, before President Bill Clinton asked her to be part of the cabinet, Albright had served as the country's permanent representative to the United Nations. And again, Condoleezza Rice in 2004 became the second woman and the first African-American woman to ever hold that job. And 5 years later, in January 2009, presently former Senator and First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton became the third female Secretary of State. And so we've seen even in other circles women rise to the occasion. And as I say every time I talk about this, now we want you to turn around and celebrate the women in your life. So let's now all get focused in on the call and talk about hope this morning, hope that holds on. So keep your eyes on the prize. And the acronym God gave me quite a while ago for hope was holding on, pursuing earnestly, or holding optimistically, pursuing earnestly. And our subheading for our teaching this morning is hope, knitting faith and love together. See, in the midst of all the turbulent times around us, we as believers must choose every day to keep our hearts and minds rooted in God's word and the hope offered in all of his promises. And while in this season of great uncertainty, economically, socially, our hope, that four-letter word that's a good word, must be in Jesus, the word, another four-letter word, and his promises. See, hope, it is the first cousin of faith and trust. Yeah, it's in the family tree. Hope is the first cousin of faith and trust, and it's the thread that holds things together. See, it helps fight off fear. It helps fight out doubt. Hope points us back to all of the possibilities in Christ. So when you have to even lay hands on your own self and encourage yourself, you want to keep the spirit of hope in you. What is hope? In 1 Corinthians 13, our love chapter, that 13th verse, abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. You see, hope is right there in the final three, in the definition, according to Webster Meridian's Collegiate Dictionary. Hope is defined as want or expect something, to wish, to have a wish to get or do something or for something or someone to become true. It's also, I love, confident desire. Hope is confident desire. That's a real good definition. In Psalms 147, the 11th verse, in that 11th verse of the division of 147 of Psalms in the NIV, it says, the Lord delights in those who fear. Fear there means reverence him. who put their hope in his unfailing love. The New Living Translation says, rather, the Lord's delight is in those who honor him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love. See, hope in the scripture, powerfully written by Paul to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 1, that 18th verse, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. Psalms 31, that 24th verse in Psalm 31 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. See, hope in God is always proactive. And when we stop using godly hope, see, then it opens the door for hopelessness and depression. In other words, you and I can't hang out with the holy haters and those who always feel the call to complain. You know, those complaining Carlas and critical Carls, all of these negative Normas or pessimistic Peters, hope will not hang out with them. So even if you got to lay hands on yourself because that little demon has jumped on you or I, we have to cast that off and get delivered from our own negative self, of course, if it applies. Now, the spirit of hope just doesn't like haters, negative people, and we've got to choose not to be one. See, some of us just need to fast, like we've been doing on this Lent, from negativity. Let that be your fast for the rest of these days left, these 18 days left, that you're not going to let anything negative come out of your mouth. Decide honestly for yourself and just choose not to be negative, but stay hopeful and look for the silver lining in whatever comes your way. Life will always bring a few hiccups, I love to call them. We all will experience some bumps in the road, but we must choose, as Jesse Jackson coined the phrase back in the 80s, keep hope alive. In Psalms 37, that 23rd through 24th verse, it says, the steps of a good man, I said good person, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And here's that key verse 24. Though he fall, it didn't say if we fall or just in case. Everybody's going to have some neology falling down. Everybody, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And we know it goes on to say, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So what's our principle here? Make hope a habit. Remember, I've always been teaching you, habits are neuter. You can either have a good habit or a bad habit. Don't be mad at a habit. Just decide what kind of habit you're going to have. And we're going to choose to have good, godly habits. And a habit is a make hope a pattern, something you regularly practice. Hope produces a spirit of perseverance. See, when you keep hoping, even when you may have a TKO, a setback, get set up by someone, when you have hope in your heart, it makes you push past. It makes you push on. The ability to hold on and press on. My pastor in Tulsa, I loved how his grandfather would always say, preciously, got to hold on and press on. So tell yourself that every time you feel yourself being overwhelmed, you feel like you missed it, off track, out of position, just decide in your own self, encourage your own self, I'm going to hold on and I'm going to press on, even if it has to be hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, till those faith muscles start getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Then you look up year after year. You've made it through your journey to that place called success, to accomplish that destiny that's on your life. See, some of you this morning don't know how you have held on to make it to even this month of March and even make it to this new year. Because, boy, last year, November, October, you were like, I can't make it another day. Oh, but hope in God has kept us and fortified us to keep holding on. We also have another principle. When you optimistically are looking forward to change, to grow, to succeed, you may say, how, Dr. V? Well, you got to learn to only say what God says about you. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that P, you was the principle of pursuing. Pursuing means to chase something, to chase somebody, to aggressively go after. Remember again, hope is proactive. Hope seeks the positive outcome, even in the midst of the turmoil. In Psalms 43:1, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. It's not just a great suggestion. It's the great commission in our lives to go after our purpose. Hope helps us to diligently pursue our purpose and to keep on keeping on till we accomplish our dreams. So that principle of pursuing is never give up. Pursue, pursue, pursue the promises of God. And then the E in hope is earnestly. Earnestly, get a sincere heart. Earnest means serious and solemn. In Psalm 63, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Oh, we've got to earnestly get our heart right, make our motives pure. In Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. But anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who what? Earnestly seek him. All this morning, keep hope alive in your heart. Keep hope alive. Quit settling. Keep hope alive. Stop accepting average. Keep hope alive. Remind yourself that we serve a supernatural God. Keep hope alive. Stop complaining. Keep hope alive. Curse the darkness and bring in the light of hope and peace. Keep hope alive. Stop being afraid, but choose to live in faith. Keep hope alive, even when you have to lay hands on yourself. Keep hope alive. It's strong in your words and in your mind. Keep hope alive for your family. Keep hope alive for your children. Keep hope alive for your ministry in the marketplace. Keep hope alive to keep your faith focused. Hold on. Hope holds on. So keep your eyes on the prize, holding on optimistically, pursuing earnestly. We speak hope into your minds and into your spirits this morning. Back to you, Miss Tammy.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Vanessa. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, sweetheart.
Thank you so much. It's just an honor to be before you all this morning. We thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to host the call this morning. Thank you so much for those words of encouragement this morning. As usual, Dr. Vanessa just stretches us and just teaches us as the shepherd of this call. You had some guests that you wanted to speak this morning. Are they going to still speak, Dr. Vanessa?
I'm going to, one of them is the one who's going to close out in prayer because we're really kind of close. So, Minister Kathy, be ready.
Yes.
And I'm scrolling back up, and I think there she is. Miss Jackie, I want you just for a moment, it was such an honor to hug your neck when we were all out in Las Vegas. Just give us a moment, a minute testimony of what Extravaganza 2012 meant to you.
I'm sorry, Dr. Vanessa, this is Jackie. Did you want me to speak?
That's it. Just a minute. Give us a minute.
Okay, I have to give you a quick minute. I'm at the doctor's office. I just got off the flight a couple of hours ago. I only had a couple hours of sleep, and I have an appointment this morning, so I'm going into
Come on, you're using up your minute. Tell us what extravaganza to you.
Extravaganza was awesome, awesome, awesome. There was so many lessons learned. God showed up and showed out. He taught us humility. He taught us forgiveness. He taught us to believe. And I left there so full, so full. I thank God for the experience. I was having some difficulties getting there, but God got me there, and I'm so glad I was there. I was so glad to be able to share with the other Master Call family. My spirit and my soul is just overflowing with God's goodness. I just don't know what else to say. I'm going to give the floor back.
You did great. And I thank you, and it was so awesome to see you and to get that hug. And we thank you for being a part of the Master's Call family and enjoying the experience at Extravaganza. Well, I'm going to roll out to Houston, Texas, to the north side of town, to our beloved Platinum, Martha Marie Preston. Share with us briefly what Extravaganza 2012 means to you.
Oh, good morning out there, Dr. Vanessa. Thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for all the sisters on the call.